because I was quite selfish, and I must call myself out. I was quite selfish in the beginning because I saw the story just about me. And when Gabo came, it was me and Gabo, you know. I was really not acknowledging the part that there's a father here.
Yeah.
And as much as I can try and attribute it to whatever in the past and how I was used to just my mom and kids, a father being absent there, this was really not my mom's story.
Hey Mama, welcome to the Whole Mama Show. I'm your host, Aisha Riley, and we're revealing the untold stories of motherhood. Having a baby out of wedlock, that very phrase sounds so loaded. It's loaded with judgment, shame, and as always, it's usually geared towards the woman in the relationship. I know that maybe in some cultures and places in the world, this isn't really that big of a deal anymore, but in Black and African culture, it still is. In many families and religions, it doesn't matter how old you are. Even if you're a grown woman and you're taking care of yourself, if you come home to your parents and tell them that you're having a baby before they've given you away for marriage, at least one of their heads will bow down in disappointment. And it's likely you'll be asked some version of the question, "So, when are you getting married?" It's happened in my family and friends' families, where many cousins and sisters have had to have a quick wedding arranged so as to cover up the truth that the bride was already pregnant before the wedding, or at least became pregnant after the family's acceptance of a marriage proposal. And I'm sure it's happened to someone close in your life, or maybe even to yourself. You're not the only mama who had her baby before marriage. My guest today, Lerato, had her daughter before being married to her now husband. Respecting social distancing guidelines, Lerato shared her story with me remotely.
Hi, Lerato. How are you?
Hi, Aisha. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Can you please introduce yourself to my listeners?
Okay. So my name is Lerato Mtembu. I have to officially say that. On social media, though, I go by Olerato, which means God is love and He is love. I ascribe all that I'm able to create really in this realm to Him. Anything that I do wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for Him. I grew up in Soweto, Mofolo Village, in those three-roomed apartheid houses where you'd find a family of 11 or 15 living in one house. I'm the third child of seven. I'm a writer, and I write a lot about healing, hope, self-love, and self-awareness. I'm a huge advocate for living a life that serves you and that is true and honest and meaningful to you. More like living in alignment with the voice inside of you, really. For me, I see this as key in living a content life, and that's what I'm trying to cultivate for myself, living a content life. I'm a wife and a mom to a sweet, beautiful three-year-old girl who gives me a lot of hard work. I founded the Journey on Earth podcast, which is currently on a break and maybe indefinitely. We're chatting about that. Currently, I'm working to create a safe space for conversations about healing as Black women. And those are the things I'm passionate about and enjoy currently. But all in all, I would say that I'm ever evolving and really open and available to life unfolding and the teachings that comes with that. I'm always learning more about being human and expanding my views and understanding this vastness of life. And if I was to talk about my 9-to-5, I'm a product manager for an international credit card line. Yeah, let me not talk better about that. So in the nutshell, that's me.
Wow, what an introduction. Listeners, I mean, that on its own is a great explanation as to why I've asked Lerato to come and chat with me today. You know, I've been following you for, I'm not sure actually, at least a year, you know, on your Instagram and as well as your podcast. My regular Instagram followers would know that I share Lerato's quotes and, you know, pieces of inspiration and motivation quite often, because it's just, I love going onto your page and being inspired by it and seeing what, you know, what new words of wisdom do you have to share with us today. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Aisha. And I must say that really I appreciate a lot, and it goes a long way. And thank you for inviting me.
Yes, I First and foremost, the whole idea of healing and, you know, creating a safe space for women, that is exactly what this podcast I'm hoping is going to become. But in particular, the space of motherhood. And that's a big reason why I asked you as well to come onto the podcast and chat with me and tell me about your story of motherhood. In particular, the experience that you have gone through with having a child before you married your husband. So
yes.
I'd like to start before that happened. How did you become a mother?
I have to, and as you mentioned, you mentioned my husband, I think I have to take you through like the journey which then led to me meeting my husband and how I then became pregnant, or became a mom rather, because it was really a whole full journey before that.
Right.
And yeah, it's worth sharing as well. So I met my husband in 2015, who pursued me for a year, and we only started dating in 2016, right? I think for him, he had always known, I think, then that I was the one for him, although for me, I didn't really know. And just the way how he never gave up on me, even when we started dating, I was still resisting being loved because I knew love as conditional, right? I made it clear to him that I didn't want to be married. So in all ways, I did not want to welcome love to take residence in my heart, I would say, because then I'd be exposed and be vulnerable and have to be soft, you know, and just welcome someone in my heart. And that I did not want to do. During that phase when I actually met my husband, who's now my husband, I regarded myself as a feminist, and it was misinformed. It was really just how I was so hurt and I was harboring pain. And then I just put on the facade, or should I say the veil, and called myself a feminist. So it was really informed in that way. And it was so hazardous to me because I didn't see myself beyond just me being alone ever in my life. So the walls were very thick and high, and protecting anything that would want my heart to be ever soft, like I said. I was struggling with self-worth at the time, but the guy really loved me from my toe nail, and I was still questioning myself even then whether this love was going to stay, and this love was really for me. He really saw me for what I didn't see in myself, and it was really everything that I needed at that time. So 7 months down the line, when maybe my heart got softer, we fell pregnant, right? And that's when I think my journey with him as well, and now learning to welcome parenthood in our lives, started. I was absolutely mad at him, right? Everything was just faulted at him, that here I am pregnant and unmarried. At the same time, I was trying to be excited about this new journey that was going to unfold for us. And obviously for him, he was instantly excited, and he wanted to do things the right way with my mom. He wanted to get our families together and begin the conversation about Lobola negotiations.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so I didn't really get the cute surprise proposal first before pregnancy happened. So for me, I only got it later after the conversations about Lobola actually started. But I knew then that the journey ahead was going to be long and hard. And reason being is that during that time, it was the first time that I was forced to have a womanhood conversation with my mom. Mm. That I'm pregnant now, and in a few months or so, I'm going to be married to the guy that I now love, you know. My relationship with my mom at that time, it wasn't really an open access relationship. I was also battling the fact that my pregnancy came unordered. I would say it was really not in the correct arranged order as we normally would have it, or society almost forces us to have it that way, whereby marriage comes first and then pregnancy, right? So I was hard on myself, I must say that. I was also just hard on myself, judging myself for that, because I was raised in a Christian family where our values were quite different. Our values were that marriage comes first before pregnancy. So our daughter was born prior to the actual wedding happening. And that's why I would say that she was born out of wedlock. Right. Although conversations then had begun, but obviously in the face of everyone, I was pregnant before marriage, right? And I could hear it from my family members who will talk about the good and well-mannered girl who is now pregnant, right? I think a lot of people tend to almost wait for your downfall, especially if you have been seen as the one who everyone is compared to. So that was the moment. That was the moment. So, yeah. And I remember one of my aunts actually coming to me and asking me that. I'm sure that it happened after he asked for your hand in marriage, right? And yeah, I just didn't know what to say, you know? And when my daughter was born, she was born in 2017, 29th July. Yeah. It was not easy to instantly embrace motherhood right then and there. And to even regard myself as someone's mom, I remember visiting my husband's home and being referred to as Mekabo, and that's Kabo's mom, as a way of respect, right? And I wasn't sure how to feel about that. But over time, getting used to being called that, I think that warmly welcomed me to embrace being Kabo's mom wholeheartedly and just into motherhood, because I realized then there that I was welcoming too much judgment into my life to also just dictate how I valued my own life. And that's when I tried to reassess how I saw my life for myself. I loved my daughter the minute I held her, and everything about that moment we shared was right, but openly embracing it was hard. And I just didn't understand that kind of situation. It was really confusing because it feels so right, yet it feels so wrong.
Do you know why it felt wrong? What was the barrier? Was it the situation that you had with your now husband, then fiance, or was it a mix of other things as well that, you know, so many of us can attest to becoming a mom, especially for the first time? There's so many things that are going on in your mind, in your body, in your spirit. Was it a mix of that?
I think it was both the pressure to actually have it rightly ordered. And for me, I perceived getting pregnant at like 24. And only now in hindsight, I see 24 as actually a perfect time, an okay time actually to be a mom. But then I thought I was so young, and I must just share this, that there was a lot expected from me, for my family to first work and be the breadwinner at home and focus on that before I could actually focus on myself. So I felt being pregnant at that time was taking away something from them.
Okay.
Because priority then was going to shift towards my now family.
Right.
So yeah, that's why I say, even when the negotiations and the talk and all that, I knew then that the journey was going to be hard and long because they had waited for so long for me to finish school, start working, and to start being the breadwinner at home. And it wasn't so long that I actually fell pregnant and became a wife thereafter. So it was heavy on their side, and I felt bad. I felt guilty for prioritizing my life and, yeah, focusing on myself, I would say. So motherhood in that time it was hard.
Yeah.
I think also just coupled with the fact that I had worn the facade of being a feminist, or I had worn that for a while, that being feminine and really being feminine and being soft was something that I strayed away from, that I didn't lean on. And I knew that being a mom would have asked for me to break open, you know, and allow vulnerability to be there, be the space that that relates to my daughter in a different way. So I was still struggling personally. I had different dreams for myself, and that happened.
Motherhood on its own, new motherhood on its own, never mind the other things that are happening in your life when you become a mom. Just the idea, the experience of birthing a human, the toll it takes on your body, the shift that happens or has to happen mentally and emotionally is already a lot. But then over and above that, as you said, that pressure, that expectation, it's a lot. So how did you deal with that? Did you have anybody or any support system, anybody in your corner who was cheering you on?
I would look back to that time as one where I lost so many people, so many friendships, so many relationships, right?
Yeah.
And I think when I transitioned to being a mom and a wife, losing all those relationships and that coupled with postpartum depression, I was still grieving, having to get used to fully releasing the part of me that used to be me, you know? That was really what those relationships. So I only had my husband, right, during that time. And yeah, I must say that. And that's why, yeah, I talk a lot about him, because there was so much that in that relationship, in my relationship, managed to hold me together when I was breaking inside, you know. Truly, I'm grateful for that period now in hindsight, because I was able to see the people that were for me. And that also came in light that one of my friends who I barely leaned on was with me throughout. Mm-hmm. And like, I barely appreciate him, but he stood for me throughout. I don't know how he managed to understand what I was going through, but he managed to really be that support outside of my relationship. Because sometimes even though you have this one person that you live with who's supporting you, it's not enough, you know? I don't know why it really feels like not enough, but you just need someone who's going to try and see it in a different light and also supports you differently. So yeah, it was really my friend and my husband and one of my aunts. Yeah. Mm. My mom, I'd say my mom raised us the best way she knew how. I have to really acknowledge her story here. She was single parenting alone with 7 kids, you know, and that on its own is a lot. And having to attend to all 7 of them with different needs by herself was a lot.
Yeah.
And her bearing her own story, her own journey, she had to mother us the best way she knew how. And I think sometimes the strong ones, as like the strong kids or the independent ones, don't get enough support or feel they don't get the love they want or need at times, because I guess you tend to actually lean towards the ones who are fragile and all that, and the ones who are independent, you almost trust that they can do it on their own. But we barely never really realize that it's on its own can affect them, right? So I acknowledge the part of my mom as that and see it in that light, although I'll never really get to know the whole full holistic story about it. And I think my aunt came into my story in a way that she doesn't have kids. She never had kids, and she's my mom's older sister. And I think growing up, she's always been that mother figure to me, or the second mother figure to me, who's always rooted for me, right? And when I was getting to a marriage and being a mom, I think she came from a light that she understood marriage, because she's been married before.
Right.
And she understood all the sacrifices that come with that. And she was able to at least be the cushion between my mom's and I's relationship, to try and see things different from my mom's side, to try and see things the way I saw them, and for me to try and see things the way my mom saw them.
Mm-hmm.
So she was that mediator, I think, for the most part, to try and neutralize things, because I think we can never really try to see the other part of the story unless if we open ourselves up to that. So she was that open area for us to engage with my mom. So I think for that part, for her part, it really helped in mending my relationship, at least a little bit, with my mom, and with trying to embrace being a wife, which I've never seen it before in any of my, you know, my relatives or anyone. Even with her, she was quite distant and she kept it to herself. So I never really got to experience or have reference of what being a wife looks like.
Right.
At least with being a mom, I knew what I wanted to lean away from.
Yeah.
And I knew how I wanted to be a mom, right? Yeah. She helped me hold that space for myself to say I can embrace being a wife, and that was important for me because I was battling with embracing that part.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow. And so you had Kabul.
Yeah.
2017, you said, right?
Yeah.
And so how long after she was born and, you know, you getting used to motherhood, or as used to motherhood as you can, did you then become a wife?
I became a wife a year later, I actually had the traditional wedding and everything a year later. I remember even that she was learning to walk around that time. So yeah, that's when everything was concluded and I was able to be someone's wife or call myself that.
You've mentioned it a couple of times that being Kabo's mom was, you know, this almost this title that you weren't really, you know, you loved your daughter, but you weren't quite completely immersed into the motherhood role yet. Mm-hmm. I just find your account of your relationship with your husband so interesting, because the beginning was very, as you say, you know, you were quite resistant to his love. And now your life is unfolding, you know, you're having your child and you're getting married. And these are two roles that it seems that you were very initially quite uncomfortable, if that's even the right word, that you just weren't ready at those points to necessarily fully accept and fully immerse yourself into. So I'd really like to know, how did you go from that place of resistance to a place of acceptance?
Yeah. Whew. I think, like I said, when motherhood came, I lost a lot of relationships. And I think those relationships were the ones that I knew the longest compared to my husband. And I think it was really hard to let go of that. And that's why it was even hard to embrace being a wife, because I almost blamed it to being a wife or getting into this new life that I lost everyone. And I think I was more blameful than anything. In a way, I think how I managed to move away from that rut, I think I started accepting the fact that it's okay to allow people to migrate out of your life and it's okay to release them. And I think by being okay with that part allowed me to then focus on my life with my new family now that I was trying to build. The biggest thing for me was the greatest support I received, especially during that period where I was so weak for my husband. So he waited for me to come right and to come to the party. And when I did, even though our values and the way we were raised was quite different, and he had certain expectations and I also had my own about how a family should be built and all that, I think it came to us actually sitting down and actually having to build good communication, especially around the fact that we were both new to this parenthood, and there are ways and ideas that we expect that one should be and the roles that one should fulfill and all that. But can we work towards a common goal? And can we, in a way, support each other, especially on days that we have our own shortcomings, you know, instead of being judgmental of how things are expected to be, but can we actually talk it out and support each other because we are both new to this parenthood? And I think being new to parenthood both at the same time helped us, because then we learned to build it our own way. We learned to create our own story our way and really release all that we've known and release all that we expected to build something that it does not have to look like anybody else's that we've seen, but to really build it our way and the way it works and serves us. So I think both in relationship and in parenthood, that's how we try to approach it, that can we do it the best way we know how, but in the way that works for both of us. So in that way, you allow yourself to be yourself and allow him to be himself and to be as vulnerable as he's able to be, whilst also just being patient with each other. I mean, in how we open ourselves in our relationship and how we open ourselves to parenthood and how we parent Kabo. Because sometimes, I guess, there are days where I'd be so harsh or there are days where he'd be so harsh. But we try by all means to put ourselves on the side and say, I think we should have approached it this way. So in a sense, we are teaching each other and learning from each other, as well as just being supportive and kind to each other whilst we do it together here.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I feel like the conversation about new parenthood and the effect and the implications that it has on your marriage, on your relationship, is something that is not spoken about enough. the focus is always usually, and rightly so in a way, you know, on the baby.
Yeah.
But that's not all that happens. So I'm always interested and I'm always feeling enlightened when I hear another fellow mom's account of what happened, you know, to her relationship, what dynamics shift happened when she became a mother, especially for the first time. Following from that, I'd really love to know, as you mentioned, Gabo was already about 1 year old by the time you got married. So you were already parents to her for that whole year. And then you became husband and wife. I'd really like to know if there was a difference after you got married in how you parented her.
Yeah, I think absolutely there was. Initially, I was just thinking about that question, and I was gonna say maybe not because we were already living together, but I think there was, because there was really a shift in me from seeing it in a light, because I was quite selfish, and I must call myself out, I was quite selfish in the beginning because I saw the story just about me, and when Gabo came, it was me and Gabo, you know, and I was really not acknowledging the part that there's a father here.
Yeah.
And as much as I can try and attribute it to whatever in the past and how I was used to just my mom and kids, a father being absent there, this was really not my mom's story. This was my story with a father, with Gabo's father, with my husband in it. And I think when we got married, a shift in me happened that you need to open up. You need to welcome him in into this parenthood because it's not yours alone. Mm. And obviously it took time because he would call me out. He'd be like, it seems like in this there's always I, or me and Gabo. And like, in some of my posts, I'll even refer to Gabo as my daughter or my child. And he'd be like, but it's our child. And you know, you're not alone in this. And I think it took that realization that I want to be in this marriage. And I want to be in it for the long haul. And that means I need to work on that. That means I need to work on myself. That means I have to pull down the walls, I guess, and welcome him in, even into my daughter's life. I think we get so used to, especially us Black people, we get so used to the father figure being absent in one's life. Or when parents split or they have their own whatever issues there, we tend to use kids as a way to hurt the other person, whereby we limit access to allowing the other person into the kid's life. And it's totally absurd. It's totally not right. And when you grow up in such an environment and where you have no reference of being in union with another person and living together, I don't know, a part of you still operates from that level of, when I'm hurt, I'm still going to use my child against him, even when you're in a marriage. So I'd have moments of me and Gabo, or it's my moment with my daughter here, you are not welcomed. And I really had to look at that and assess that. I think that's why I say healing is really not just for me. Healing is for my daughter, and it's for my husband as well. So, yeah, I think it really changed, to answer your question, how we parented really changed when we got married and really settled down that we're in this for the long haul and we need to look at life differently.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had to hold his fatherhood and him learning to build his narrative of what a father can be, because just like me, he didn't have a father in his life. So he had to... Yeah, I think break down. And I think right now, my daughter leans towards him more even. And yeah, I think it's because we've held a supportive structure, especially for our parenting.
That's such a beautiful answer to the question. To be honest, sometimes, you know, you have certain expectations or impressions of scenarios or situations, especially of life events that you haven't personally experienced. At least that's the truth from my side. To be totally honest, I thought that you would probably say it didn't really change that much. Similar to how you said initially you thought, you know, the answer to that question is not really, because we're already living together. But the fact that you were able to actually, you know, pause and reflect and actually see, no, actually it was different. And especially that the both of you had no reference, as you said, to a union, you know, between your parents. You were having to learn to be a wife. He was having to learn to have to be a husband, all at the same time, still learning and giving each other grace on how you're becoming parents to your daughter. So it's a lot. And so that happened, at least the initial phases of that happened a couple of years ago. How do you feel that you have grown since then? Are you at a point now where you finally feel comfortable calling yourself a mother and calling yourself a wife and being in those roles?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's why I don't mind having it even on my bio and social media, even if I don't talk much about it.
Yeah.
I think those are the roles that are worthy to celebrate and allow yourself to embrace. Honestly, I think it's been a long journey, and I think those are the two roles that I enjoy effortlessly. So yeah, it's a good space. And there was a period where I left my job, and there was a time where I craved to be the healed version of myself. And although healing really, it's an unending horizon. It keeps on, you know, you keep on unfolding and all that.
Yes.
Yeah, but right now, although I'm not at the end, I'm not at my destination or anything, but I'm at the better place, really, to call myself a mom, a wife, and, you know, really with a smile and with the happy face.
And I can hear it. Yeah. I can hear it. Even though, you know, we're not seeing each other, I can hear it in your tone. I can hear that you're smiling, and that just permeates. to me. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Absolutely. I think these are the two relationships in my life that really prompted me to go within and dig deep and really find that place within me that was holding on towards pain, or was kept home for pain, should I say. And it was really because I wanted more for them that I was not giving out. Because they easily gave me unconditional love, and I just felt like I was just not reciprocating that, and it was really unfair. And that's why I say I craved being the healed version of me. I craved being a good mom, having to talk about motherhood and being a wife so openly, and that's why I'll forever be grateful for actually welcoming healing in my life, even just for my family.
Wow. Okay, so what's your whole mama truth?
Yeah, I think my motherhood, I would say that it's been unexpected in all that unfolded from the onset, even now. I'm still learning a lot that I did not expect. Just even in ways that you really get to allow yourself to be okay with certain things that happen because you really did not expect them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing this piece of motherhood with us. I'm already feeling that this is a conversation that, you know, there's a mom out there who needed to hear what you had to say. So I really appreciate you, you know, coming on here and sharing your truth and sharing your story, hoping that, you know, in your healing, you will be healing others as well. Can you just let us know where we can find you online?
Thank you so much, by the way, for the whole conversation. I didn't think I would say so much. Thank you so much again for inviting me and for holding the space for women in motherhood who just feel that their stories are not represented. I think that's important or shared, or just don't see their stories in the world out there, because we always try to put it together and put it in the perfect way, or maybe not even that, but there's a lot of the positive or the good part of it that gets shared on social media. And it almost looks like the only story, right? It almost looks like it has to be that way, where your body has to snap back to normal quickly. And I think I appreciate you in the sense that even though now my daughter is 3 years old, I don't know, in the next few years, I might have a new child, a newborn baby. Yeah. How you are sharing and lightening people about the truth, and really how honest and truthful you share your story so openly and so lovingly at the same time with people. I think it's important. Holding that space, I think it's important.
So
in terms of Thank you, Aisha. So in terms of social media, I think for now, people can just find me on my Instagram page, which is, I think it's Life with Olerato, where I just write and really share about, like I said, about living content, self-awareness, self-love, and healing. That's where I share most.
Have a look on Lerato's page. She just said that, she just writes, but for me, it's more than writing. So if you want your soul fed a little bit, go onto her page and definitely check her out.
What a wholesome conversation. Just listening to Lerato's explanation of how her family had all of these expectations of her and that she felt guilty for prioritizing her life, it really made me think that's something so many women can relate to. At different times in our lives, we're expected to put our family's needs first, over and above ours. Whether it's the family we're born into or the family that we give birth to, it's something that our cultures many times explicitly put pressure on us for. It's a lot. And I think it's something that we should really reflect on as a society. Thanks for tuning in and listening to Another Mama's Truth. As always, I'd love to continue the conversation online. Chat to me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Pinterest at Aisha and Life. That's AISHAANDLIFE. And for more stories on my journey in motherhood, have a look on my blog, aishaandlife.com. So reviews are big deals on podcasts and can help me reach more women. Please leave me one, as well as rate and subscribe or follow so that you don't miss the next episode. Once again, I'm Aisha Riley, and I hope this episode has left you feeling a little bit more whole, mama.